Finally, some not quite so bad news on jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. It's a brightening outlook relative to what it's been, but the jobs picture is still far from beautiful. New unemployment benefit claims fell sharply in the last week, down by 31,000, but they remain much higher than normal. We'll get one expert's take on what it means, but first, where's Wall Street? Traders aren't terribly excited so far, it seems. The Dow is up 16 points, less than a quarter of a percent. The NASDAQ and broader S&P 500 have gained about a quarter of a percent. Shares on the major European exchanges have been up as much as half a percent, and most Asian markets rose modestly. Joining us live now is Diane Lim Rogers, an economist with the nonpartisan think tank The Concord Coalition. Good morning, and just how significant do you think this let-up in jobless claims is? First decline in 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good news, but we're certainly not out of the woods. I think we should be hopeful that this is a sign that we're not going to go into a double-dip recession, but the recovery is still going to be very, very slow because this is a very stubborn labor market this time.
Now, Ben Bernanke speaks tomorrow in Jackson Hole about the Fed's outlook, and the Washington Post calls this his most important speech since the end of the financial crisis. Do you think so, and what could he say to reassure you that he's on top of it?
Well, I don't know about it being the most important speech he's ever made, but I think it's a very crucial one. I think there's a desperate need in the country right now to restore confidence, both for households and for businesses. And I think what Bernanke needs to do is similar to what President Obama actually needs to do with fiscal policy, and that is to signal that he is in charge, that he knows of all the best monetary policy tools to pull out, and that'll be something different from what they've done in the past, because I think what Americans need to know is that there's going to be change, not just an effort, but something different from what we've already seen in terms of both monetary policy and fiscal policy.
We could use some clear signals. Diane Lim Rogers is an economist with the Concord Coalition and blogs at economistmom.com. Thanks for your insights.
Thank you, Bob.
Dell says it's up the ante for the data storage company 3PAR and outbid Hewlett-Packard by 30 cents a share. 3PAR's board is said to have accepted Dell's offer. The bidding war bumped up the small company's share price from $9 to more than 25, which raises the question, was this all really a billion-dollar-plus game of chicken? Here's Marketplace's Gregory Warner.
It's the kind of puzzle that keeps tech analysts up at night. When Dell put in its first bid to buy 3PAR, the data storage firm, Hewlett-Packard declined to counter at first. Then HP changed its mind, big time.
HP trumped the Dell bid substantially. I mean, they came in at $24 a share.
Peter Falvey is managing director of the Technology Investment Banking Group at Morgan Keegan. He says that bid, seen as an overbid by some, left two outcomes for HP.
So either they win and they pay a relatively high price, or they quote-unquote lose and they make Dell pay a lot of money for it.
And pay they did. Dell's new $1.5 billion offer was accepted this morning by 3PAR. Falvey says there is one other theory for why HP suddenly jumped so hard into the fray. It got reporters to stop talking about the sex scandal around former chief executive Mark Hurd. Now we're all talking about this bidding war. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Tomorrow, the government gives its revised estimate for the country's economic growth rate. And leading experts are expecting slippage, down around a percent from an already weak 2.4%. But is the economy really all that weak? Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here with the opposing view. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Bob.
I don't know, can you be a contrarian and an optimist at the same time?
I'm going to try. I'm definitely going to try. And as you said, there's a lot of gloom and doom about the economy. But I just think there is some good news that's being ignored.
Okay, fill us in.
Here's some actual factoids, numbers, trends that I think need to be highlighted. And the most important is this corporate profit recovery cycle has been among the best in the entire post-war period. And I know you've covered it. We're all wondering, it's like the big guessing game. When are corporations going to start spending their cash hoards? Well, I think we're starting to see it. Take a look at corporate investment in equipment and software. It's growing at its fastest rate since 1997.
We also keep hearing these stirrings about, boy, things better improve soon or we're going to pull back.
Bloomberg did this study, and they looked at 200 companies in the Standard & Poor's 500, and they looked at research and development expenditures, 2007-2009. Now, you would think, with everything we've gone through, where would you cut? You cut R&D, right? That's
Absolutely.
A simple thing. That's down the road. I mean, we got to survive for today. And yet these more than 200 companies really increase their R&D expenditures during this period of time. I think that's good news.
I have to say, though, I've got another technical term for you. Don't stick your hand back in the flame.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, I'm going to do that anyway. I'm going to stick my hand way into that fire. Look, household debt burdens are down. For workers who have jobs, their real incomes, incomes adjusted for inflation, are getting stronger. The other thing, and I don't want to make too big a point of this, but James Paulson, he's chief investment strategist at Wells Capital Management, he made the calculation. He said, look, it's not great, but so far this recovery has produced better job results than was achieved in 1991 or 2001.
Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
And finally this morning, here's a pleasant thought. Imagine what a delight it is, cruising at 20,000 feet with a sweet, well-behaved little bundle of joy. Ah, yes, what could possibly go wrong? This may explain the results of an online poll out this week showing close to 60% of travelers would like a families-only section on planes. And of the 2,000-plus who responded on the Skyscanner website, 20% would prefer child-free flights. Well, Dream On USA Today says the airlines it checked with haven't even considered the idea. We'd like your thoughts at marketplace.org. That's how I feel. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.